firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than...
David's plans for the temple are well underway, but there's still much to be done. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus for another great adventure in God's Word. Today we begin in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 1. So while you grab your Bible and find your spot, let's listen to our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, remind us of Through the Bible's financial policies.
It has never been our plan or purpose from the very beginning to use high-pressure methods. We do not send out junk mail. Everyone that's on our mailing list got there because they asked to be put there, or else someone asked for them. We today believe that if you are not able to support the program and you want our notes and outlines, that God will raise up somebody down the street or over in the next town to send in enough for you and for them also. We believe that the real test is the support that comes from any area, and we will not continue on a program if we do not get a reasonable amount of support. And we always give every station a fair opportunity to see if it's going to pay for itself. And that, by the way, is all that we ask. We do from time to time appeal to you to support our foreign broadcasts. After all, we cannot ask them, the Chinese or the people of India or the people of South America or the people in Russia to support our program. We believe that there are enough folk in this country that are interested in getting out the word over iron curtains, under bamboo curtains, and through the curtains of indifference and sin today to get the word of God out to the world. So we just let you know this and trust you'll understand that we do need your support, though we will not violate our rule by using high-pressure methods.
Well, if you'd like to know more about Through the Bible's financial policies, or if you'd like to support the broadcast of God's Word in your neighborhood and around the world, then visit us at ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, before we get to our study, here's a quick message from Amanda in Arkansas.
My name's Amanda, and I'm from Arkansas. And I listen to Through the Bible on, our radio station is 88.7. And here, Through the Bible comes on at 3 o'clock. And I am blessed to be a stay-at-home mom. And 3 o'clock is usually about the time that we're all in the kitchen and I'm cooking. And I just wanted to say thank you, because usually my two small children are in the kitchen with me and I am able to turn on the radio and just be able to cook with them, and for them to be able to listen to somebody teach the gospel in a way that even they understand. And I just wanted to call and say thank you for that, because it truly is a blessing, and it's been helping me be able to teach my children. So I just wanted to call and say thank you so much. Bye.
Well, it's a joy to hear from you, Amanda. Thanks for contacting us. And be sure to tell your kids that we've got seats saved for each one of them, and I'm looking forward to having you join us. Well, it's time to begin our study. To download the temple model and chart that Dr. McGee mentions today, just visit us at ttb.org/First Chronicles. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy that fill our lives. Please give us wisdom and knowledge as we study your word together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, friends, we come to this 24th chapter of 1 Chronicles, and I'd remind you again that we're in the section of this book where God put the greatest emphasis, and it's upon the temple. This section is all about David's reign, We had only one chapter on Saul's reign, but from 11 through 29, it's all about David's reign. But what was the most important thing in David's reign? Well, was it about his mighty men? They're mentioned. And David's wars? They're mentioned. And David's sin? Well, his sin in number and the people is mentioned here. And there's so much about David that we have in these historical books. But what is it concerning David that is all important? Well, beginning with chapter 22 through 29, it's all about the temple. That was where God put the emphasis. That's what God thought was important. And here is where he put the emphasis. And he made it very clear that this was all important to him. And it was all important to David. And we saw his great zeal last time. It's a question of putting God first in your life. It's one thing, friends, to say, yes, I'm a Christian. I've trusted Christ. God bless you. It's wonderful you've trusted Christ. But do you really put God first in your life? Is he a thrill to you? Do you rejoice in that relationship? You want to do something for God. Does he give direction and purpose to your life? Is it your great desire to want to know him and to serve him? Now, that's very important. If you're a child of God, it's very important. One of the things, as we suggested last time, that is wrong today, oh, so wrong. Our churches have become nothing in the world but just activity. Activity without action. Just a ceaseless round of going through this and going through that. It's like a merry-go-round. We get on and have a nice little ride, then we get off, and we get off right where we got on. We're not getting anywhere. We're not going anyplace. And David was going someplace, and now he's urging his son Solomon to go someplace. And he gives him something to do. And that is, he's to build the temple. And the greatest thing Solomon did was to build the temple. Candidly, that's about the only thing Solomon did of any significance or at least brought glory to God. It's very important to see that. Now, David, in this section here, is encouraging Solomon to build the temple. I tell you, it was a regular pep meeting. He called that boy in and told him that he gathered all the materials. Now, he not only gathered all the materials, but David also organized the Levites to serve in the temple. You will recall they served in the tabernacle. The family of Aaron, they served as the priests. Then you have the Levites and their three families. There was the Gershonites, Kohathites, and the Merariites, and these all had a very definite thing to do in the wilderness. When they were moving the tabernacle, they took it down, they put it up, and the Gershonites, why, they carried the curtains and the coverings, and Kohathites carried the articles of furniture, and the Merariites carried the boards and the bars and the pillars. And it was quite an undertaking, as we saw in the book of Numbers. It was quite an enterprise to take the tabernacle down of a morning, put it up again in the evening, and restore the service of it. Now, the staves are taken out of the ark. It'll never be moved again. It's to remain now permanently in Jerusalem on the floor of Ornan. And David has bought the place that's going to be used as the place of sacrifice, the place of the temple. That is where the Mosque of Omar is today. And God's temple is to be put there. Now the Levites, they are to have a new service. They are to serve now in the temple that is to be built. And there'll be a great deal for them to do. And so the thing that David does is organize them into shifts, if you please. They would serve by lot, actually. They would serve for a period of time. Then they would retire, and then they'd come back. I think that's the way firemen serve. I think that's the way a lot of men in certain occupations today, they go in 24 hours a day, and then after they serve several days, then they have several days off. Well, that's the way that the service of the tabernacle was organized. Now in chapter 24, you have the organization of these sons. You have here, first of all, now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. They were priests, you will recall. And the very interesting thing is he goes all the way back to the time they were in the wilderness, takes the sons of Aaron, and Nadab and Abihu died before their father, had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office. That's verse 2 of chapter 24. And David distributed them, both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar, according to their offices in their service. So that this is actually a very highly organized procedure that David is putting in force. You see, David is not only gathering the materials, but we're going to also see he has the pattern for the tabernacle. He bought the real estate where it was to be built, and now he organizes the priests to serve in that. You wonder what really Solomon did. And that's my reason for saying that we call it today Solomon's temple. But I think God makes it very clear here it was David's temple. The only temple Solomon ever had was the one on the side of his head. The temple that we have built in Jerusalem is David's temple. It was his idea. It was his thought. It was his work that gathered the material together. He got the workmen to build it. He organized the priests to serve in it. And everything was in place. Now we have that, and we have him putting the priests in orders. Actually, there were 24 orders. Verse 5, thus were they divided by lot, one sort with another. For the governors of the sanctuary and governors of the house of God were the sons of Eleazar and the sons of Ithamar. Now, these sons were organized into orders so that one group would come up, and under them a certain group serving in the temple. Then they would retire and another group would come up and take their place. I think it was quite a chore, quite interesting to watch. It wasn't long ago that I had the privilege of watching the changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace. Now, I want to tell you, they overdo that thing over there. My gracious alive, they could do that lots quicker than they do. What ceremony, what show it is. And they've made it that. Fact of the matter is, I think that none of the kings of the past would go for the way it's being done today. I'm sure they'd be surprised to see how the thing has worked out. That sort of thing took place in the temple when it was built. And we find that they were organized this way. You see, each one of these families had several offspring now. In fact, you come down several hundred years to David from the time of Moses. And these families have grown, as we have seen that the children of Israel from about 8,000 now have about, did I say 38,000? I think that's what it was we saw last time. 38,000 of them. And now they will be the ones to serve in the temple. They don't need all of them at once. So David organizes them into orders. And in verse 20, the Kohathites are divided. We're told the rest of the sons of Levi were these of the son of Amram. And here we go down that list. Then we have the sons of Merari, and they are divided here. They are divided by lot. And each family carried on their service, you see. Now you have here in chapter 25, the singers are organized the same way. I'm reading verse 1. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals. And the number of the workmen according to their service was. Now, we have here all of this organized, and this was before the temple was built. And you'll find that in that marvelous 68th Psalm, a Song of David, that it says in verse 28 and 29, listen to this, "Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee." Now, you see, at that time the temple was not built. So they were organized into these groups, and long before the temple was built, while they were in Jerusalem, the singers were gathering there to worship God. You see, he had brought up the ark, and it was in a tent, and there was an altar there where David, you will recall, on the threshing floor of Ornan, he had offered sacrifices, burnt sacrifices, and peace offerings unto God. Now we have their division is by lots of 24. That would mean that every 2 weeks that there'd be a change, you see, 12 months out of the year, and they would have every 2 weeks, twice a month, there'd be a change in here of the service. And that would mean that they'd only serve 2 weeks out of the year. But you see, they went back to the city they'd come from, and there was a service that they performed there, as we have discovered before, that these priests, the Levites, served in many ways throughout the land of Israel. This was, I would say, one of the greatest feats that David performed in his ministry, and it is the thing that God noted and God recorded here. Now you not only have the priests divided like this, but who's going to sweep out the place, as well as who's going to keep the store? It's very important to find out who's going to sweep out the place. Now, we are told here, chapter 26, verse 1, concerning the division of the porters. And believe me, they are organized just the same way. And then, what about others that are serving? Well, you've got to have watchmen around the place. And we're told in verse 13, they cast lots, as well the small as the great, according to the house of their fathers, for every gate. And therefore, they were to watch the gates. They were to be on guard duty. So that here is a temple that's being built, and there are these that are on service 24 hours a day. It's very important to see that. And now you got to have a treasure, because you know, in God's work, it takes money to carry it on, and it did in that day. And so we find here in verse 20, and of the Levites, Ahijah was over the treasures of the house of God and over the treasures of the dedicated things. And so he had charge of that. He had to make his report, you see. And then we have others that were to be those that would judge. You see, the Levites were to be judges. They also were to act in an official capacity in many ways, because it was God's original purpose that his people be a theocracy, with him ruling, with the tabernacle in the center, and with the priesthood getting the decisions from God. And that changed because of the failure of the Levites. God raised up judges. Then you have the failure of them, and the demand of the people for a king. And that's the reason that David is now on the throne. But all of this must be organized. It's highly organized, and David did all that. Now, they have the captains that are chosen, and you have the princes of the 12 tribes. And we find here, verse 23, "But David took not the number of them for 20 years old and under, because the Lord had said he would increase Israel like the stars of heaven." He's to believe God. He's got adequate. He took the census before because he didn't believe God. It was unbelief. God told him, "Trust me. I'll supply all the army you need. I'll supply all your men." He doesn't need to do that now. We have other officers that David appointed. I do not suppose any kingdom was any more highly organized than the kingdom that David established. David has a great meeting, and it's going to be one of his last. And he's come down now to the end of his life. And he's going to have a message for Israel and for Solomon that the nation can hear. This was very wise on David's part. I'm now in chapter 28. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king Bacchus, and the captains over the thousands, captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers, with the mighty men, with all the valiant men under Jerusalem. Now, we find David standing up and speaking to them. Now, I'm not going into detail on that. I want to do that next time, because it'll be our last message that we're going to have from David. And therefore, we want to give full attention to it, because when we get to 2 Chronicles, Solomon is on the throne. David now has died. He's been buried, and therefore we want to hear his last message. But there are several things here that I do want to call your attention to. David will not get away from this position of frank confession to the people. The reason that God would not let him build the temple was because he was a bloody man, and that he had now commissioned Solomon, that God had done it, and God had chosen Solomon. The very interesting thing is that David turns all the responsibility over to God for Solomon. He makes it, I think, very clear he didn't choose it. And then we are going to find out that David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch and of the houses there and the treasures. David is the one that also had the blueprint of the temple. Just as Moses had been given the blueprint for the tabernacle, it was David, not Solomon, given the blueprint for the temple. Now, I said before, when we were back in Kings, at the building of the temple, that the temple was much inferior to the tabernacle, and that is true. They've attempted to make, and if you've seen any models of the temple, you know that the models are very, very impressive. And I won't mention any one of them because there are several. They're all very impressive, and obviously they're not as the temple really looked. They have built in Jerusalem today, the new section, at the new hotel there called the Holy City Hotel. And I can think of many names for a hotel, but I've never felt that the Holy City Hotel is a good name for a hotel. But they've got one in Jerusalem. Now, it's a new one, and it's very exclusive. I did not stay there. But out in the grounds of that hotel, they have a model of the city of Jerusalem. Now, this is not some little cheap thing that's been thrown up or something that's been made by someone who doesn't really know what they're talking about. It was made after years of research, and it's been made by Jews in that land, and I take it they are Orthodox Jews. They've made the entire city how it looked. I was thrilled to see it. They have it looking as it did in the days of Herod. Well, now they call the days of Herod, but the days of Herod were like the days of Christ. It was the way it looked in the days of our Lord and in the New Testament times. And friends, it just doesn't look like the models that we've had in the past. And I believe that they are probably nearer how it really looked than it's ever been made before. A great deal of research went into this. And next time, I expect to spend some time talking about the temple. This was David's project. It's David's temple. I'd like to insist upon that. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
We covered a lot of ground today as the Bible bus rolled through more than four chapters of God's Word. So if you'd like to maybe listen to this message again, it's available for you to review at your own pace when you visit us at ttb.org. And don't forget that the entire five-year study is available to you to purchase on a handy USB drive and also our newest tool, the Solar Bible Bus. It's a player that you can take with you wherever you go that includes all of Through the Bible studies and a whole audio Bible. Check out these great resources and more at ttb.org or call us. We'll be happy to help you out, and you can just do that by dialing 1-800-65-BIBLE. And when you call us, please be sure to mention how and where you listen to Through the Bible. Just give us the name of your radio station or let us know how you listen online or by app or any of the other many ways that you can have this program brought to you. This little bit of information, as we've said before, helps us to be good stewards of the resources that God provides through generous friends like you. Now, tomorrow we'll learn about David's last days and we'll hear about one of the greatest prayers in all of Scripture. So be sure to join us and invite someone to listen with you as the Bible Bus rolls along in our five-year journey through God's entire Word. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll save a seat just for you.
Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.